Chapter 3. Comfort. I dry my eyes and put the picture back inside my drawer. I look around in my apartment and decide I'll clean up later. It's almost 3:30, and driving there will take me a little over 20 minutes. And that's without traffic. Arriving late at such an important meeting is just not done. So I close the door, head down, and climb on my Harley. Riding a Harley in dress pants is a bit strange, but the heavy bike is my only transportation option at the moment. I don't want to call a cab or Uber. When I arrive at the tall office building, I feel my stomach acting up. I don't want to do this, but I know I have to. So I drag myself inside, look at the sign near the elevator, and head to the 11th floor. When the doors open, I see a fancy-looking office with minimalistic decorations, marble on the floor, and a beautiful-looking lady behind the reception desk. I walk toward the lady, and before I can say anything, she asks, "Mr. Harris?"
"Yes.
I'm Scott Harris."
"Good afternoon, Mr. Harris. Will you please follow me?"
The lady stands up and walks around her desk. We head into a hallway with more marble and big, floor-to-ceiling glass panes. I figure these are the meeting rooms as we walk past them. I can't keep my eyes from the hot, mini-skirt-clad ass in front of me. Damn, that's one fine piece of ass. The lady stops at a glass door and looks at me. I realize she must have seen me looking, and I start to blush. She just smiles at me and opens the door.
"There you go, Mr. Harris. Mr. Cohen is waiting for you. Can I get you anything?
Coffee, water?"
"No thanks.
I'm good," I say and smile at her. I enter the big meeting room and see a skinny man in a fancy suit sitting behind the typical boardroom table. The man looks expensive but has a friendly face, and he starts smiling politely when he sees me come in. Before I realize what's happening, I feel a body slam into me, and arms wrap themselves tightly around my waist. I look to my right and see Audrey pressed against me.
"Hey, lil' bit," I softly say.
Audrey looks up at me, and I can see her swollen eyes. I haven't seen her in a few months, and I notice how much she's grown in that period. I kiss her on her forehead and hug her firmly. I look her over and realize a lot can happen to a girl's body in a short time. The last time I saw her, she was basically a tomboy. But now I was looking at a young woman. The once puffy nipples are now small breasts, and her short skirt accentuates her growing curves and tight little ass. I notice all this in the blink of an eye and quickly dismiss these thoughts. We're here for a very sad reason, so no pervy shit.
"Hi.
I'm..." She trails off, lost for words.
"It's okay.
Let's sit," I say and pull back one of the chairs for her to sit on. I step toward Mr. Cohen and shake hands. Despite his skinny frame, his handshake is firm and confident. He smiles and gestures for me to sit down too. I take the seat next to Audrey as the man starts to speak.
"Welcome.
Both of you. I know these are difficult times, but the urgency of the matter calls for this meeting," he starts. It turns out that Glenn put me in his will as the legal guardian of Audrey. Shortly after Gloria died, he did this, and I feel flattered about the trust Glenn expresses with this action. But I'm also scared shitless hearing this. At 26, I don't feel capable of taking care of a soon-to-be 13-year-old girl. But I also know Glenn and Gloria don't have any brothers or sisters in the US, and I'm the closest to a relative in Audrey's life. In normal circumstances, we wouldn't be discussing the will at this point, Mr. Cohen is saying. But since the well-being of Audrey is our main concern, we might as well do it now. An hour and a half later, Audrey and I walk out of the office. Inside, we learn that Audrey inherits the house in a trust fund. Glenn left me the photo studio with all the equipment, the brand name of his studio, including all accompanying licenses. And, if there are no objections from Child Protective Services within 3 months, I'm the legal guardian of a 12-year-old girl. "Thank you for wanting to take care of me," Audrey says as we approach my bike.
"Of course.
Your dad took care of me when I was your age. Now it's my turn." Audrey smiles through her sadness and looks impressed at my bike. That's when I realized something. I've only got one helmet. I'll get us an Uber and worry about the bike later. After a few minutes, the car pulls up and we head back to Audrey's house. During the ride, we talk about the practical implications of it all. But, for now, we decided that I should go and live with Audrey in her house. We both find it strange to call it her house, but it is what it is. When we arrive back at the house and enter the living room, Audrey starts crying. She tries to fight back against the tears, but once I put my hand on her shoulder, she erupts. The tears start flowing, and she's crying with everything she's got. Seeing and hearing her cry this way breaks my heart. So I put my arms around her and just hold her. I don't try to soothe her or comfort her.
That just doesn't feel right at this moment. I can't help myself either. I never felt so sad before in my life, and despite wanting to be strong for Audrey, I cry for all I'm worth. We cry like this for a long time. But eventually, the tears dry, and we look at each other. "You look like a mess," Audrey says as she looks at me with a barely noticeable smile across her lips. "Right. Like you look like a million bucks," I chuckle, glad to leave the crying behind us for now.
"Now what?" Audrey asks.
"I'll go and get the guest bedroom ready."
"Well,
I guess we'll have to go and call it my bedroom from now on."
"I guess.
But
why not take Glenn's room?"
Audrey says softly. Glenn and Gloria had always insisted on calling them by their first names. So no Uncle Glenn or Aunt Gloria. Gloria said it made them feel old, and they didn't want to feel labeled. So when Audrey was born, they went with first names too. To Audrey, it was natural, but my mom and dad found it odd.
I didn't care.
To me, they were still Glenn and Gloria, and if this is how they live their lives, why bother? Maybe in a while. Not now. I don't want to sleep in there now.
Okay.
You make sure you can sleep tonight. I'll order us pizza.
Pepperoni, right?
Great. I'll hop in the shower after I call the pizza place. I feel dirty. Can you keep an eye on the doorbell while I'm in there?
Sure thing.
I'll be done in there in a few minutes, I say as I'm heading up the stairs. I'm done pretty quickly in the bedroom. I just have to put some clean sheets on the bed and open the window. So I head down, drop myself on the couch, and start browsing through my timeline on my phone. Then, I hear the shower shut off, and at the same time, the doorbell rings. I get the pizza and grab some plates on my way back to the living room. I stop in my tracks when I see Audrey coming down the stairs. She's wearing an old, white t-shirt, which is too short and too tight for her. I noticed her boobs before, but they can't be missed in this shirt. Her hard nipples only accentuate them more, and I have to tear my eyes away from them. Beneath a stripe of skin that starts just below her belly button, a pair of loose-fitting, blue and white striped cotton boxer shorts complete her outfit. I know I shouldn't look at her like this. Especially considering the circumstances we're in at the moment. But, damn. She looks foxy. We sit down on the couch next to each other, and once we polished off the pizza, we're staring blankly at the TV screen where some stupid sitcom is playing. Relaxing a bit now, I realize I'm feeling numb. I can hardly feel any emotions at the moment. It's like I'm on some shitty drug or something.
"Can I hold you for a moment?"
Audrey asks softly, and I can hear her sniff.
"Course.
Come on," I say and extend my arms, feeling the tears welling up again too. Audrey moves over and straddles my waist. She lies her head on my shoulder and sighs deeply. I can feel her stiff nipples against my chest, and the heat of her groin radiates through my dress pants. But all that is irrelevant now. This little girl needs comforting. I wrap my arms around her and start caressing her back. She's quiet, but by the sobs of her shoulders, I can tell she's crying softly.
"You can cry as much as you want. You know that, right?"
I whisper in her ear.
"Yeah, sniff, I know.
But I don't want to."
"I know, little bit. I know."
I can still see the TV and feel the sobs every now and then. We sit like this for a long time. Eventually, the sobs wear off, and I feel her starting to breathe deeper. The poor thing. She must be exhausted by all these emotions. I decide to let her sleep like this and watch the sitcom reruns I hate so much. But I can't reach the remote without waking her, and my phone is just too impractical in the position we're in now. About an hour after sitting like this, I notice she moves. Her pelvis moves a bit back and forth. I guess she's dreaming, and I pay no attention to it. But after a few moments, she moves again. And again. All the while, her groin is rubbing back and forth over my dick, and since I'm only wearing dress pants and boxers, I feel her movements all too well. The few movements slowly turn into a full-blown dry-humping session. I don't know if I hear it correctly, but a small groan escapes her throat. Finally, I can't help it anymore, and before I know it, I'm fully hard. But the grinding doesn't stop. Audrey's upper body still lies limply over my torso, but her stiff nipples are poking me in my chest. I'm pretty sure she's sleeping and having an incredible dream. And I know I have to wake her, but this just feels too good. I didn't get laid in months, and this action is sure having its effect on me. I try to hold as still as possible as Audrey picks up the pace. She is moaning by now, and the dampness between her legs is noticeable through my pants. But the real problem I'm having with all this is the buildup I'm feeling in my balls. If she keeps this up, I'll cream in my pants. This goes on for a few more minutes as I try and contemplate my options. By the time I'm approaching my point of no return, I decide to wake her up. And that's when it happens. Her body starts shaking violently, and her legs press firmly into my hips. A deep, animal-like groan comes from her throat, and she stops moving. Her body lies limp against mine again, and, judging by her breathing, Audrey is asleep again. My throbbing boner keeps twitching against Audrey, and I hope it doesn't wake her. I let my heartbeat drop by taking deep breaths, hoping my boner will go down soon. But it isn't easy to steer my thoughts away from what just happened. After about 10 minutes, my boner finally starts to go down, and I try to watch some TV again. But no matter how hard I try, I can't get the feeling of her warm groin against mine out of my head. So I gently rub her face and wake her up. "Wah."
"Hmm,"
Audrey mumbles. "Let's get to bed, a little bit. I'm tired too."
"Hmm,"
she moans, still half asleep. I help her upstairs and into her room and realize she is basically sleepwalking. When she steps into her bed, I notice the damp spot in her striped boxers. Holy shit. That was a serious cum. I try to ignore it and pull up the blankets. Before I get the chance to say anything, she snores loudly, asleep already. So I kiss her on her forehead and head out of her room, closing the door behind me. When I enter my room and start pulling my zipper down, I notice an obscene dark spot where my pre-cum leaks through my boxers and pants. Shit. I mutter. I don't have clean ones with me yet. So I get into the bathroom and wipe my pants clean with a wet washcloth. Then, I neatly put my pants over the chair, hoping they dry enough to wear in the morning. I pull off my boxers and lay them on the chair too. I don't want more of my pre-cum to mess it up even worse. I crawl under the covers and let the events of the day play in my head again. I usually do this when I'm trying to get to sleep. I find it a very relaxing way to get my head clean. But by the time I get to the events on the couch, I feel my hand wrap itself around my stiff shaft. Only a few tugs and the idea of Audrey riding herself to orgasm on my dick is enough for my cum to splatter all over my chest. After I clean up, I turn to my side feeling myself drift off quickly.